This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour in our nation's capital here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we send you off into the weekend. Busy weekend in our nation's capital. Caps hockey, they look to continue their hot offensive start over the weekend. Wizards back in action tomorrow night, playing host to Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then on Sunday, big-time contest at Northwest Stadium, Washington, and Chicago. Question I'm asking right now on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Who do you have more confidence in? Marcus Mariota or the Commanders' defense heading into Sunday? And I'm torn right down the middle because I don't have a ton of confidence in either. I'll call a spade a spade. I find it hard to believe that with an entire week to game plan and prep, that Washington will look like the juggernaut they've been offensively with Marcus Mariota under center. I think the game plan is the same no matter who starts. But I think it was very evident dating back to OTAs and minicamp. Jaden is the better quarterback of the two, and we've seen it throughout the first 7 weeks. Jaden's got the ability to elevate everyone around him. For Washington to have put up the offensive numbers they've put up with the personnel that they have, you got to look at the kid under center and say, damn, you are having a significant impact on what's happening here. So on Sunday, under the scenario that he's not able to go, Marcus Mariota would get the start. I get Chicago's down Kyler Gordon. They're down Jaquan Brisker. It's tough because I genuinely, and maybe this is me trying to salvage my take from earlier this offseason. I was not a fan of the Marcus Mariota signing. I wasn't. And to keep a spade, man. Washington, Mariota was not Washington's first choice. They wanted Sam Darnold. So do with that information what you want. I'm just saying, I think Chicago is better than what we're giving them credit for here locally. And if you don't have your starting quarterback against that defense, I wonder how you fare. I do. The silver lining, I would say, though, is that Brian Robinson's healthy. Austin Eckler's healthy. Maybe he'll be able to run the football. That, to me, is the saving grace for Washington. If they can run it Sunday, I think they're able to win. I know that you're probably thinking, well, can they stop them defensively? You run the ball, you control time of possession, you limit the opportunities that Caleb and company have. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Going into Sunday against Chicago, who do you got more confidence in, Marcus Mariota But the Commanders defense. Sean's in Winchester. What's up, Sean?
What's going on, youngest in charge, man?
What's going on, bro?
I've been listening to you for a while, man, especially this offseason, man. You gave me hope, man. You were talking about how we I don't know if it was you or Toby saying that we need to get used to having a good team. And, man, I'm starting to get used to having a good team, Mariota or Daniels. But the Bears, I mean, their schedule and our schedule, we're almost the exact same team in my eyes. We just have a better quarterback. And I heard what the DJs were saying up there about hitting Daniels in the ribs and trying to get rid of him, knock him out of the game. No, I don't want that. But I think our offense right now is humming, man. It's like, what do they call it? Talky hot. You know what I mean?
Talky hot. There you go.
Yeah, talky hot.
Come
and
on,
you
man.
Even said, man, what is it? The exotic smash
exotic
mouth football.
Exotic smash mouth football, baby.
And I dig it. I dig it. We get Robinson out there and we get Eckler. Who knows what can happen? I don't think their defense has played anybody no more than we have. We played toe-to-toe with Ravens.
Yeah, but no, well, they held the Houston Texans to 19 points and made them look mediocre.
I didn't see that. Maybe I don't watch enough of the Texans, but I'm not a big fan of the, I don't think the Texans are that hot either. But right now, I can't remember the last time we were undefeated at home. And if we continue that trend, I think Chicago's coming into a buzzsaw, personally.
Wow. That's one way to look at it.
Regardless. And God help, God willing, if I fear for him. If he does talk them into letting him play, I just sit him just to sit him. Because, you know, he is our, he's our hood ornament. But, I mean, I want to see us win, and I think we're going to win regardless of who plays. Because our defense is getting hot. Luvu. I think it can take place. I think we can actually win at home, and that'll be it. Then we got the thick of our schedule is coming up. That's what I worry about.
The meat of the schedule is after. Yep, this 1 month stretch that we're on, Sean. I agree. I appreciate your call, brother. Yeah, Sean hit it right on the head. If they win Sunday, I give them a ton of credit. It's their signature win on the season to me. But what you have coming up are physical, knock them out, drag them out brawls. That is what is next. This game against Chicago may be that type of affair. At the Giants, home for Pittsburgh, at Philly, home for Dallas, home for Tennessee. All teams that want to punch you in your mouth one way or another. So from a physicality standpoint, you show the rest of the NFL that you're the bully for real and you're big brother if you go beat Chicago without Jaden Daniels. I actually think, to actually answer the question, who do you have more confidence in, Mariota or the defense? I think at this point it's Mariota. And it pains me to say that. I think Washington's system is the most quarterback-friendly system in the NFL offensively. In terms of what Kliff is doing for Jaden. That's not to discredit Jaden at all. He has been awesome. He makes superstar plays week in and week out, but he damn sure is a beneficiary of a really quarterback-friendly scheme. And I say that to say this, Marcus Mariota should reap the same benefits. Harold's out in D.C. What's going on, Harold?
What's up, Linnell? Look, first and foremost, I don't trust Mariota in the shootout, so I'm going to put my confidence in the defense.
Okay.
This is the first quarterback that Joe Witt faced as not a veteran quarterback. It's the first rookie he's going against all year. And other teams have forced Caleb into mistakes. If he's a good coach and he does what he's supposed to do to coach the guys up, he can force those same mistakes.
I agree.
He got Kingsbury in his ear. Kingsbury coached a kid in college. He kind of knows his tails like he did with Kyler. You know, button that up, man, and let that defense do it. If your best man down, somebody else got to step up. Let the defense step up.
For sure. Appreciate the call, Harold. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. Whatever happens Sunday, I'm not worried long-term about the durability of Jaden Daniels. And I know that's been a major topic of conversation as well. Will he be injured moving forward? I can't predict the future. The game of football is a damn organized car crash. So everybody involved is susceptible to injury. You can't move as an organization, as a team, being in fear of guys getting hurt. That's the best way I can put it. Should he play Sunday? If he's healthy, yeah. If he's not, no. Point blank. When I say healthy, I mean 100%. Not 90% because it's week 8, 100% because there's no discomfort in the rib area and he can throw the football comfortably. That's what I care about. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I actually wanted to let you all hear from the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. Because earlier today, he spoke to a contingent of local media, and I would say this, after hearing Jaden Daniels speak earlier, I guess I'm more confident than not that he will play, but I'm still uncertain. Here's Jaden Daniels earlier, speaking to the DC media.
Feel good.
Do you expect to play Sunday?
Do I expect to play? I want to play, but not my decision.
What's the injury?
Something to my rib. It's kind of hard to explain, but something to that area right there. Like I said, I mean, I feel good. Been treatment, all that, trying to get back right and give myself a chance to go out there and be confident to play. And, you know, ultimately the trainers and Adam and DQ, they make the decision to let me play and stuff like that. You know, they feel confident too.
What do you need to see from yourself to feel comfortable going out there?
My thing is just, I mean, I got 48 hours to see how I feel, and we'll just go from there.
I imagine the pain was noticeable at the injury and maybe the day after. How has it progressed during the week?
Yeah, I mean, kind of with time and rest comes, you know, from Sunday to now, it feels better, but, you know, I still got some time. Still got some marks that I need to hit to, you know, they feel comfortable putting me out there.
Like, how much of this is caution too, as you guys are assessing how you feel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's football. At the end of the day, things happen. Sometimes you might have to fight through something. But if you could go, you could give it your all, and be smart about it. Obviously, they wouldn't put me in any position they wouldn't feel comfortable in. For my future, I don't want to put myself in that predicament either.
What's the hardest part to get used to for you with this? Like, what's the lingering issue, I guess? Is it pain? Is it more just comfort throwing?
I think it's a mixture of a lot of stuff. I can't really just pinpoint one thing, but, you know, it's kind of just keep being in the training room and trying to put myself in the position to go out there and play.
Last one.
How much do you look forward to this specific game? Obviously, you and Caleb as the first two picks.
I mean, I look forward to it. I mean, respect to Caleb and everybody, but I look forward to playing, trying to play every game. It's not who I'm playing against. Chicago is a good team, but, you know, I'm looking forward to go out there and hopefully if I play, if I don't, it is what it is. We'll be moving forward, but I treat every game the same.
Jaden Daniels, quarterback of the Washington Commanders, sounding so-so about whether or not he's going to play Sunday. I guess the context is different when you're hearing the audio versus watching and hearing the audio. I mean, the kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow. When he was being peppered with the questions earlier, watching it on video, he's smirking, he's smiling. I guess that's who he is at this point, and I love that about him. I think his temperament is, you know, contagious, and it's given this group confidence and a swagger that I haven't seen the franchise have in a while. But I can't help but think that he thinks he's playing. he thinks he's playing. Now, you know, sometimes you got to – the only way you can stop a injured guy from playing is by tranquilizing him. Is Washington going to have to tranquilize Jaden Daniels? I hope they do. See, I despite what most may say, I want a guy that's going to push it to the edge and it's going to want to play. Don't kill someone's competitive spirit. That's my thing. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on whether or not Jaden Daniels should play Sunday. And we'll ask him the question we've been asking you all. What do you trust more going into Sunday? Marcus Mariota of the Commanders' defense. More overtime next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Lynnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of OT. Get you geared up for Commanders and Bears coming up on Sunday. Big weekend in the DMV. Caps in action this weekend, looking to continue their hot offensive start. Wizards looking to, well, I continue to say it. We're not judging the Wizards off of wins and losses. But they play tomorrow as well out at Cap One Arena, playing host to Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. And then Washington back at home, Northwest Stadium, looking to move to 6-2. They may have to do so without the starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. To talk more about Jaden Daniels in the game on Sunday, we're joined now by our guy David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can also read his work WSA9.com as well. David, appreciate you giving us some time, my man.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Good, brother. Good. So, obviously, we have been on rib watch since Sunday. Today, Dan Quinn gives the information that he did practice today. It was limited. You all got to speak with him after practice. What did you take away from Jaden's post-practice scrum? And if you had to make an educated guess, David, do you think he plays Sunday or not?
Yeah, so I wasn't actually in Ashburn today. Actually, my wife and I are going through the process of registering to become foster parents, so we had some classes today. But, you know, the folks who were out there today, you know, Nikki Javala, John Kime, Sam Fortier, Ben Standing, the usual suspects, they did a good job of sharing a lot of information. And, you know, Jane's a warrior. He's a battler, so he's going to want to go out onto the field, you know, any chance that he has the opportunity. So it's really never been a situation of, you know, is Jaden going to want to go out there, and is Jaden going to feel like he can be effective out there? It's really a matter of, one, is he medically cleared, and then two, is the coaching staff, you know, mainly obviously Dan Quinn, going to feel comfortable putting him out there? He's said multiple times, about multiple players, not just Jaden. But, you know, if I can't put you out there and have you be genuinely you and emphasize, you know, what he likes to call their superpowers, then he doesn't want to put them out there. It's not worth the risk. And that's kind of where I've been leaning to this whole thing is if he doesn't think Jaden can go out there and be fully Jaden, then you know, there's a good possibility he won't play. I've stuck all week that I don't think he's going to play in this game. I really don't have like a measurable, you know, something that I can pitch out there to just, you know, that you can grab and say this is why he's not going to play. It's just using history as a you know, a predictor of future behavior. Dan Quinn has been very conservative about other injuries in the past. I don't see why he wouldn't be the same here. So that's just why I'm leaning that way. Certainly would be thrilled to see him out there because if he is on the field, the good news is you know Dan Quinn is confident that Jaden can be Jaden, and that's what you want to see if he's out there.
I agree 100%. I think the track record and the history of Dan Quinn here in Washington at this point, he has erred on the side of caution, even dating back to training camp, giving guys extra time to get ready, giving guys days off. So I agree with you from that standpoint. I think that does lean towards Jaden not playing. If that is the scenario, and it is Marcus Mariota having to start, two-parter here, David. One, your confidence level in Mariota, and then how much do you take away from last week against the Panthers?
You know, I think there's a good amount to take away from last week in the way that they were able to rally around Marcus. And you know, I know there was the one drive where the Carolina Panthers, you know, decided, you know, hey, we'll give the Commanders back the ball in our own end of the field, and it gave them an early scoring opportunity while Marcus was getting his feet under him. And they had the other drive where you know, it's like four runs, one pass attempt that ends up with a DPI, and they're able to get into the end zone. And certainly those are types of drives that help any quarterback, you know, rookie or veteran, be able to have some time to get his feet under him. But once Marcus got out there for a few reps, you know, he was able to do some really good things. And I think you saw kind of what he could do in this offense, just like you see what Jaden can do in this offense, given the opportunity. And, you know, the Carolina Panthers defense, not world beaters by any means. The Chicago Bears defense certainly is better. So I don't think I would expect to see, you know, Marcus Mariota go out there and put up, you know, 30 points as easily as essentially he did against the Carolina Panthers. But I think it's a functional offense with Marcus. It's probably a better offense with Jaden Daniels, I think is an easy thing to say. But I honestly think this game is more about the run game. I think the Washington Commanders, you know, I think the path to victory, so to speak, is leaning on Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, even Jeremy McNichols. You know, I think he certainly earned the opportunity to kind of be part of that three-headed attack if you can get it going. And, you know, that's been the quote-unquote weakness of the Bears' defense, if there is one, is that ability to give up rushing yards. And if they can do that and produce some points early on in the game and you force the Chicago Bears to put things on Caleb Williams, you know, shoulders, early on and throughout the entire afternoon, then that simplifies things for the Commanders' defense, which is how you can help kind of disguise some of the things that are plaguing that unit. And you know, that's the recipe that they've essentially been able to win with all season, so there's no reason to think that it's not a recipe that they can win with this weekend.
For sure. For sure, I agree with you. I think, really, Brian Robinson and the run game as a whole has been super impactful to the tone that Washington's trying to set offensively, their identity offensively, and then, you know, most importantly, I think even more important than the rushing attack, Dave, is their ability to stay ahead of the chains and keep yourselves out of those obvious passing situations. More importantly, with Mariota now under center, I think that becomes paramount. But when I ask you the question of who do you trust more, David, Marcus Mariota in this game or the Commanders' defense, what say you?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to go Marcus Mariota, right? I mean, he's got the veteran presence. I know he's bounced around and never really established himself as a veteran quarterback or a franchise quarterback, I should say. But, you know, he's seen some things. He's been through some things. He kind of understands what it takes to bring the team together. And I think that's the other part of this, too, is like, you know, I understand a question like that, but, like, the mm-hmm. good thing about this team is you don't have to actually – you know, the way the results of the game on that, because again, just like going back to last week and what we were able to see the team execute when Marcus did have to come in, like they're going to pick each other up. You know what I mean? They're going to go out there and they're going to battle for each other. And Cliff is going to do things. I mean, he mentioned it this week in his press conference, like they've got play cards for both quarterbacks. They've got, you know, plans for each guy to come in. So he's been, you know, as long as Marcus Mariota has been active, and even before him, Jeff Driskel, like Cliff has kind of had like a, you know, a game, a supplemental game plan, so to speak, available for that backup quarterback. And so that part of it, of the operation, where you're seeing an offensive coordinator who is very in tune with his roster, he knows his personnel well, and he knows how to put them in position to be successful. So you give him that benefit of the doubt coming into this weekend that he's going to do the same thing for Marcus, if that's the move that he's done for Jaden Daniels. So that gives you the more confidence. So it's not so much
right
that you need to have the faith in just Marcus, because he's not going to be out there doing it alone.
For sure. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, joining us right now here on Overtime. Dave, more on the Commanders defense. I really was in tune with what Joe Witt had to say this week, and I agreed kind of, you know, where of his assessment of where this defense is right now. I think they're running and hitting a lot better, to use his words. I think the tackling is much improved, but I still worry about a couple of things, Dave, defensively. One, their ability to stop the run. I know Washington's been better the past couple of weeks, but they're still amongst the worst in the NFL in terms of rush yards per play allowed. They're amongst the worst in the NFL in terms of 10 runs of 10-plus yards. When you look at their run defense in this matchup against Chicago, where DeAndre Swift has gotten going here the past couple of weeks, do you have some concern about whether or not Washington can make Chicago one-dimensional?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's reasonable, right? And it's not just what the Washington Commanders defense maybe hasn't been able to do against, you know, certain offenses. It's also what the Chicago Bears are doing. You know, if you look up their rush ranking right now, I think they're like 31st in yards per carry, but that doesn't tell, the whole story, because in the last three games, their run game has really come alive. Like you mentioned, DeAndre Swift, and it's not just him, but they've averaged 4.2 yards per carry just in the last 3 weeks alone, which is much, much higher than the 3.74 yards per carry average they have for the entire season so far. So definitely a slow start for their run game. Part of that was usage rates. Like, they put a lot more on Caleb Williams early in the season than they are here in their last three wins. You know, they only ran the ball 17 times week one, 17 times week two, 27 times week three, and they ran the ball 31 times in week five alone, and then another 22, 23 in weeks four and six. And the difference there has been 151 yards of production from the running backs in the first 3 weeks compared to 316 yards of production in the last 3 weeks. So that part of their game has come alive, and it's allowed the Bears to move away from putting it on Caleb Williams' shoulders as much as they were, either by design or by feel of the game flow in the early part of the season. So, but every offense, we know this in the NFL, doesn't matter who you are, you know, even Greg Roman, like even the most run-heavy offensive coordinator, if you put points on the board early and you put them in a hole, they'll have to throw the ball. And you know, Caleb is certainly very talented. He's certainly got, I think, great potential in this league, but he still has moments where he looks like a rookie quarterback. And if you keep him in the pocket and you put them in passing situations, he sticks on his first read. His feet go dead a little bit. He gets a little bit flat with it. He holds the ball too long. It'll allow four-man pressures to get to him. When you blitz him, he rushes, gets the ball out too quick, off time, off platform, and his completion percentage drops down into the 50s. And he's throwing, you know, turnover-worthy plays, you know, once or twice a game, if not three times. I think he's seventh highest in the league in turnover-worthy plays. He has more turnover-worthy plays this season than Andy Dalton and then Deshaun Watson, and he's had a bye week, you know what I mean? So, right. Like, Caleb is certainly susceptible to making those rookie plays. Now, the question is, and the question is with every defense, and when those opportunities come and those turnover-worthy plays happen, you know, is this defense going to be able to take advantage? And that's why I bring up Deshaun and Andy, because obviously they were able to take advantage of some of those opportunities. Those two quarterbacks have fewer turnover-worthy plays this year than Caleb. So if Caleb gives you those opportunities, you got to be able to capitalize on them. If you can steal, you know, two possessions from this offense, and Cliff can come out here with a game plan, you know, designed for Marcus Mariota, what he does best, lean on the run, then there's no reason the Commanders can't come out with a win. It's just, you know, it's great to say it, right? And say all the words on Friday night. The trick is they got to be able to execute it on Sunday afternoon. So that's, we'll see if they can pull it off.
And if they can pull it off, Dave, they move to 6-2 on the year.
Yeah.
Would you deem Sunday a signature win for Washington? Because I think you can make the argument to this point through 7 weeks, while they are 5-2, no signature win on their resume yet. Would Sunday quantify as that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you want to, you know, we get into the realm of like, you know, this team beat this team and they're better than that team. So that means if you beat that team, you're better than that team and all that stuff. You know, the Chicago Bears haven't quote unquote beaten anybody yet. And I hate kind of diving into those topics because, you know, nobody's going to ask the Chicago Bears to give back any of their wins and nobody's going to ask the Chicago Bears to apologize for who's on their schedule. And, you know, we heard it when the Washington Commanders beat the Carolina Panthers last week. You said, okay, yeah, it's great, but it's Carolina Panthers. Well, I mean, what do you want the Washington Commanders to do? Like, fly to Kansas City and just say, no, we're going to play you this week? That's not how this works, right? You play who you play. And so for the Chicago Bears, like, you know, they've beaten bottom dwellers. They've beaten the last place team in the NFC South, the NFC West, and they've lost to and the two bottom teams in the AFC South, and then they lost the two top teams in the AFC South. So, you know, that's a conversation I had with Warren Cox of Locked On Bears this week about the Bears finally getting a win against a team that's over the fold, right, in the top half of their division. That's their opportunity to do that this week against the Washington Commanders. And it's odd because I know the Washington Commanders are underdogs in this, at least on you know, the sports book that pays me to talk about them. but, you know, in a lot of ways, if the Washington Commanders beat them, even with Marcus Mariota, quite honestly, like if the Washington Commanders beat them, people are going to say, yeah, well, you're the first place team in the NFC East. You know, you're better than the Eagles right now, better than the Cowboys. You beat the Bengals. You went toe-to-toe with the Ravens. You should beat the Chicago Bears. So that's why I don't think it's necessarily a signature win. If the Bears win, then they get to toot the horn and say we beat a first-place team in one of the, you know, more competitive NFC divisions in the league right now, obviously the NFC North being the best. So, you know, I think it's if we want to get into, like, signature win conversations, I think it's better – it would be a better, head on the wall, I guess, to put it bluntly, for the Bears than it would be the Commanders. But, you know, 6-2 going into Jersey to get another divisional or try to get another divisional win looks great no matter who the opponent is. So,
yeah, it's interesting, man, because they got an opportunity to be 7-2 going into Pittsburgh. Say that's the scenario, David. If Washington is 7-2 coming out of the Giants game next weekend, should they be aggressive in trying to acquire defensive talent?
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, I think every time this team wins a game, and again, it doesn't matter who they win against, every time this team wins a game, because, you know, the over-under before the season started was 6.5. I did an episode kind of diagramming how they get to that seventh win and why I thought they could get to that seventh win and all that stuff. And here we are now, you know, we haven't even hit Halloween yet, and I'm starting to put money away to pay for some playoff trips, you know what I mean? And so that's a great turn of events to have happen. And we hear, you know, talent evaluators and people who've been in the league and around the league all the time talk about windows. You know, what window are you in? Because the window you're in is what kind of dictates your decisions on roster building and all that stuff. And we know Adam Peters wants to build through the draft, but supplement through free agency and trades and all that. Well, you know, when you're trying to build a competitive team through the draft and supplement it that way, it's one thing. When you're trying to build, when you have a playoff team and you're trying to continue building it and supplement it, now it's a different conversation. So I think every time they win, we on the outside are going to talk more about, you know, go get Harold Landry or go get, you know, whoever's available is not a Dallas Cowboy because Jerry Jones is not trading anybody to Washington ever. Right. So, you know, and it's human nature. And at the same time, that conversation gets louder inside the building. Now, is it ever going to get as loud as it is out here? You know, I would probably tend to lean towards it's always going to be louder on the outside than it is on the inside. But that doesn't mean that, you know, if it's at, you know, I don't know, 12 decibels outside, it's not at 8 decibels inside.
Right, they're talking about it for sure.
Loud enough for AP, you know? Yeah.
David, yeah, it's interesting, man. I think you talk about windows. When you have a rookie quarterback on his rookie deal and he's playing as well as Jaden Daniels is, I think you have to look at things differently. You've only got so much time with him on that deal. And looking at what your big major flaw is right now, it's clear. And it'd be different, Dave, I think, if they had a litany of different woes. I think their number one issue is corner and edge rusher. If they can go, I don't even think you have to get top of the market guys. I don't know what you think about this name. Like, Jacksonville should be having a fire sale. Bringing in a veteran corner like Ron Darby would be something that intrigues me. I'd call on Trayvon Walker, another young pass rusher with upside that I don't know how good his standing is right now in Jacksonville. But, like, I don't think it necessarily takes top-of-the-market guys, but I do think with as well as they're playing and where things currently stand, you got to give yourselves the best chance to maximize this window.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard some other people say the same thing, and I certainly get that view. At the same time, you could also look at it and say, all right, but this team, as it's currently constructed, is the team that has everybody thinking, hey, let's make this team even better. So, you know, there's also an element of don't fix what ain't broken, and you got to be smart about it, right? And that's what any resilient decision maker is going to take, calculated risks. Everything is a risk at a certain point, right? It's all about taking calculated risks. And so, you know, if you're looking around the league and you see a guy that's got like 3 years with like $17 million cap hits and guaranteed money left on his contract, that's probably not going to happen. That's probably not the kind of move that Adam Peters is going to make. But if you look at a guy who's got, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years left on a deal with one or two really hard tied years to that, and maybe you can get him for a fourth round or a fifth round pick, that might be more in Adam Peters' wheelhouse. I don't think you're going to see a deal. I don't imagine you're going to see a deal that's going to send, you know, anything higher than a fourth round pick at the most. And even then, I think you're probably, you know, getting a little bit rich there. But again, that's just, you know, reading what they've done I say the past, but it's all this year, so it's not really the past yet. But at the same time, like you said, like the more the circumstances change, the circumstances change, and those circumstances changing can lead to different behavior. So it's hard to really predict. But yeah, I think everybody kind of is on the same groove that, like, you know, there's at least an increased amount of attention going to whether or not they make a move. Personally, I like J.C. Horn from the Carolina Panthers, and I wouldn't mind Greg Newsom from the Cleveland Browns. I think those two teams are more likely to be selling. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns have already sold a little bit, and I think you can get both of those guys in certain packages for maybe a day three pick thrown in there with some other stuff.
It'd be fun, Dave, if they made a nice move before the deadline's there. Darius Smith's out there. That's a guy from an edge rusher standpoint I'm pretty intrigued in. Let's get your prediction, though, Dave, before we get you out of here. A two-part prediction,
yeah,
David.
Prediction. My prediction is the same. Prediction is the same either way, to be quite honest with you, because I think either way, if you put Jaden out there, he's not 100%. And because he's not 100%, you're not going to want to put him at risk fully. So I think regardless of who the quarterback is, you're riding the run game as much as you can. Obviously, if the Bears, you know, come up and stop it, you got to alter. But as long as, you know, that front line keeps doing what they do, then it should be at least functional and able to kind of carry the day. So I think it's a short game. I think you're probably looking at like 9 or 10 possessions per team, because I think the Bears also need to try to establish their run to help their quarterback. And so I think it's a little bit of a lower scoring game compared to some of the other 30 burgers and stuff that we've seen the Commanders put up. I've got 24-20 Washington.
Wow. Picking the home team. Washington moves to 6-2, and then the conversations going into that Giants week, David, are going to be out of this world, my friend. Appreciate you giving us some time, David. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
It's one of the best. David Harrison, Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you check his work out at WSA9.com, as well as he is a contributor for them. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, one thing I like to do each and every Friday here on Overtime is take a trip around the National Football League and hear from some players and coaches ahead of Week 8. That's next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Big weekend in our nation's capital in the local sports scene. Caps in action. Wizards in action. Commanders in action. Big shout-out to our guy David Harrison, Locked On Commanders podcast, coming on and discussing Sunday's contest with us. Coming up in about 10 minutes, switch things over to the hardwood. Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports Network, going to join us and give us his thoughts on the old Wiz Kids. But before we do that, I want to take a spin around the National Football League. As I mentioned, a lot of drama and storylines coming into Week 8. Started last night. Vikings have lost 2 in a row. The return this weekend of Tua Tagovailoa, Jonathan Taylor back for the Indianapolis Colts, and Hassan Reddick going to make his debut for the New York Jets. But I want to start in the NFC East. Cowboys coming off of a bye week. And honestly, a group that feels like at 3-3, they are reeling. Their upcoming schedule is as follows. At San Fran this Sunday night. At Atlanta next weekend. Home for Philadelphia. home for Houston, then at Washington. So a juggernaut of a schedule coming up. But out of the bye, Dak Prescott said that the Cowboys hope they can go on a similar run like they did last year.
For sure. It's the hope, as I said, in watching my play. I know, as I've said before, right, I feel like I was saying it well, and I wouldn't take that back. But there's some things out there that I can obviously do better. And then some of it, some things that I haven't done that I've done in the past, that looking forward just to activate, open up some things in this offense, stay ahead of the chains, and, yeah, get it going.
Jared Goff in the Detroit Lions, hot right now. Winners of four in a row. And offensively, what they've done the past 2 weeks, super impressive. Jared Goff, according to some folks, playing at an MVP level. I argue with Jared Goff that he is the most insulated quarterback in the National Football League because the Lions have arguably the best supporting cast offensively. Peter King, longtime NFL media pundit, had this to say about Jared Goff.
What I love about this Jared Goff story, very simply, is that he was put out with the trash by the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, hey, Sean McVay wasn't necessarily wrong because Matthew Stafford comes in and wins a Super Bowl with the Rams. So how can you criticize that? But Jared Goff said to himself, okay, look, I'm going to show you. I'll show you. Just watch. And Jim, he's shown us all. He is playing the best football of his life, which is saying something because Sean McVay had him really playing well early on, you know, under his tutelage. And then it just didn't work out. But I just love the Goff story because he is proving to everyone that I can not only be a suitable starting quarterback, a complimentary starting quarterback, I can carry a very good franchise.
See, I respect the hell out of Peter King, but anybody watching the Detroit Lions wouldn't go out and say that he's carrying them. What Detroit has found over the past 2 weeks is balance. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, this offensive line, they're beating the hell out of people up front. All Jared Goff has to do is not screw things up. That's it. But the last 2 weeks, you go back 2 weeks ago against Dallas, 36 carries, 184 yards rushing for the Detroit Lions. You look at this past weekend when their big-time victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, Jared Goff only had, what was it, 3 incompletions? But on the ground, 27 carries, 144 yards. The balance that they've got offensively right now, to me, is the key to this thing. If you ask him to put it all on his shoulders, I don't know if he can do it. One guy who hasn't had all the weight on his shoulders, but his team's still winning games, Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, off to an undefeated start despite Mahomes getting off to the worst start of his young career. Andy Reid spoke earlier today about DeAndre Hopkins and what his role potentially could be in his first game with Kansas City.
I think he's a good, he's a veteran player and seen just about everything over 12 years. So, and he's a good space player. So he's very good understanding how to work in space. At the same time, he's a tough matchup because of his size, arm length, you know, big body that knows how to kind of play that low post area.
Well, we'll see what happens with DeAndre Hopkins with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. I get the attrition they're dealing with at wideout, but like when you watch Kansas City over the first 6 weeks of the season, I don't think their lack of weaponry on the perimeter is why Pat Mahomes isn't playing well. And if they're another team that needs or would benefit greatly from having a consistent running game. Their best performances this year, they've had really good balance on offense. I think moving forward, Pat Mahomes has got to protect the football. But I think DeAndre Hopkins does help. I just don't know if it's enough when you go up against one of the juggernauts. I think the Ravens right now are probably the best team in the AFC. But we'll see. One last one here. I don't know. I'm glad we get to do the in-game show. And I don't get to sit home and watch NFL Sunday this weekend because I would be scared crapless. 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Cardinals and Dolphins. The return of Tua Tagovailoa. I didn't think we'd get to this point this quickly. He is slated to start in his former backup when the former starter for Miami, Skylar Thompson, had this to say about his teammate's pending return.
Yeah, I mean, he's been tremendous, you know, through this whole time that he's been out. I mean, he's been around the team. He's still been a leader, still been great for the room and helping everybody out. So, you know, getting back in here and getting, you know, around the team out in the practice field and back in the huddle again is cool to see. And, you know, he has a lot of good energy. He's very vocal and he's our leader. And you can tell everybody has some energy behind that. So credit to him and how he handles everything and the way he's carried himself coming back. It's been cool to be part of.
Tua's missed the past 4 weeks with that concussion that he suffered in week two against the Buffalo Bills. I have no interest in seeing Tua return. I know. I won't be watching Dolphins football anymore. I promise you I won't. As bad as I want to see Tyreek Hill, as bad as I want to see Jaylen Waddle, I don't want to see anything out of the ordinary happen to Tua Tagovailoa. They're saying that there's a story online on ESPN.com saying Tua took the long, cautious road back from his latest concussion. Give me a break. Dolphins and Cardinals coming up Sunday. Hopefully, we don't see anything drastic happen. That's going to do it for Around the NFL. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Final hour of the program. Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network joins us to talk about the Wizards as they get geared up for their second game of the early season. That's next from The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.